Romans chapter 8, we're going to be looking at two verses this morning, verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. We sang a song, the last song we sang this morning is, "Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray." I don't know about you, but there's been many, many times in my life I felt like, "Lord, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray." And I feel like I'm a failure in prayer many times. And Jesus' disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray." And that is the topic we're going to be looking at this morning. You know, having an expert help us do a task is a very good idea, especially when we don't really know what we're doing. You know, there's different times when you get into a little project and you discover quickly that, "Now, I really don't know what I'm doing here. I need some help." And to find somebody that knows what they're doing in that area, whatever area it may be an area of cooking, it may be an area of sewing, it may be a carpenter job, it may be a fix-it job, whatever a case may be, but you get yourself into it and you really see that, "Hey, I don't know what I'm doing here," and somebody that's an expert at it could really be a help to me. And, you know, as we look at the topic of prayer, that is something where God tells us here, we're not very good at it, but he says, "I'm going to give you an expert to help you." Look at verse number 26. He says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." God's telling us here that the Spirit of God, who lives inside of every true believer, one of his jobs is to help us to pray. To help us to pray. And that is a wonderful blessing. As we examine this morning, I want us to notice three blessings of this Holy Spirit-guided prayer that can be a great help to each of us this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He helps us to pray. Look at verse 26 again. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Note the word "likewise" and "also." Very important words. As you're studying the Bible, words like that can be a great help to catching the meaning of what he's dealing with here. He says, "likewise, the Spirit also." All right, he's pointing us back to what he's already said about the Holy Spirit. Just in this one chapter alone, he has told us many things about the Spirit of God. And, for example, we saw back in verses 1 to 9 that the Spirit of God indwells the believer. We saw in verse 13 that he helps us to put to death the flesh. He also adopts us into God's family, verse 15. And he bears witness that we are truly saved, in verse 16. And his presence is in us is the first fruits of heaven. And we see that in verse 23. So many things. You know, this chapter is an amazing chapter because it talks a lot about the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 14 also talks a lot about the Spirit of God, but I think you'll find more about the Spirit of God here in Romans 8 than probably in any other chapter in the Bible. It is a great chapter. And now he tells us that the Spirit of God is here to help us pray. To help us pray. Now, the Spirit helps our infirmities, he says there. Notice the word infirmities. It's interesting when you find a word like this to take a look and find out more about that word. First thing you can do when you find a word like that is find out where else it was used in the Bible. And it's only been used one other time in the Bible, this particular Greek word for infirmities. And that was back in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 40. And that's a familiar story that probably all of us would be familiar with. But it's a story of when Martha and Mary and Lazarus invited Jesus to their home for a meal. And they all came, Jesus came and his disciples came, and Martha was in the kitchen cooking. And Mary and Lazarus and all of the other friends were sitting around Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus describe and tell about and preach to them and teach them. And they were soaking that all in. And Martha's in the kitchen, and she's all worried herself there in the kitchen. She's frustrated. She's upset. You ladies can understand this. You know, I mean, my wife, I'm sure, is not unique to any of you. If you have somebody come over to your house, you know, for several days ahead of time, you're thinking, all right, what are we going to eat? What are we going to do? How am I going to fix it? What are we going to set up? And I got to make sure the house is clean. And that was Martha. I mean, she's all fretting about this meal. She's getting it ready. She wants to have a nice meal for Jesus. And she's busily doing this. And in her frustrations, she interrupts Jesus with these words. You can just see Jesus is talking to all of the family and friends. And Martha comes out kind of steaming, and she said, here's her word. She says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, to come and help me. All right, there's that word, help me. Bid her to come and help me. I need help. I'm in the kitchen working all by myself, and my sister's out here sitting and doing nothing. Bid her to come and help me. And that word help is a very important word. Kenneth Wiest describes it like this. He says, the word speaks of action of a person coming to another's aid by taking hold over against that person and of the load he is carrying. All right, so it's taking the other end of the load for that person. And a person helping does not take the entire load, but helps the other person to endure. All right, so it's you're carrying a heavy load. Someone comes along and takes the hold of the other end of it and carries part of the load for you. I was reminded many years ago when we were in Papua New Guinea, I helped a church up in the mountains, not too far from where Benjamin and those guys live, but I was helping them build a church. And the ridge cap, it was a steel roof, and the ridge cap is just a little capping that goes across the top, and there was a big stack of it about this thick because it was a big, long building, and it was very heavy. And it was in a way. And so I asked my coworker if he'd help me to move that. And we each grabbed one end of it and groaned and moaned and groaned and was hoping we're going to hurt our backs. And we moved it over to another spot out of the way. When it came time to carry it up the mountain to where the church was, one of the Papua New Guinea guys came, grabbed it like this, put it upon his shoulder, and walked up the mountain with it. I'm thinking, these guys are stronger than me. But we needed help. But he didn't. He was strong. He was able to do that. But you know, the Spirit of God comes alongside and helps us when we have an infirmity. And the infirmity in the context here is obviously talking about our prayers. Now, the Holy Spirit does not do everything, but he's only there to aid us. It's not like the Spirit of God's going to come and he's going to take over and says, all right, just let me do the praying. You're not good at this anyway. I'll take over. No, he helps us in the need we have. He works alongside of us. Another commentator said, in such help as when another of a greater strength steps in and sustains the burden and that lies too heavy on our shoulders. Not so, another guy says. He says that the Holy Spirit dwelling in the saints comes to the aid of the saints in a spiritual problem and difficulty, not by taking over the responsibility and giving the saint automatic deliverance without any effort on his part, but by lending help and allowing him to work out the problems and to overcome the difficulties with his help. All right, so picture in your mind, the Spirit of God, I'm struggling praying, and the Spirit of God doesn't step in and say, all right, I'll pray for you. You don't need to pray. You just sit there quietly and I'll take over. No, he helps me pray, and he wants to help you pray. He wants to communicate with you and through you and help you and show you how. Just like Jesus' disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus sat down with them, and he gave them some instructions and guidance as to how to pray, and gave them some tips on what should be included in prayer and how to go about it and things of that nature. So the Spirit of God is there to help us. And Paul here clearly tells us that this burden that the Spirit helps us to carry, that he calls our infirmities, which really refers to a weakness, is that of prayer. I notice again, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So he says the prayer is the problem. The prayer problem is the problem. And he says, when he says there that we don't know how to pray for as we ought, that word ought is an interesting word. It actually is a word that means necessary. He's saying here, we don't know how to pray like it's necessary to pray. We don't know really what to pray that's necessary to pray. Now, we want to be able to communicate with God. And when we pray, I hope that when you pray, you're just not reciting some little poetry that somebody wrote down and call it a prayer. But we're actually trying to talk to God. And we want to be able to communicate with God. We want to be able to have God hear our petition and answer our prayers and help us in these needs. And so there is a necessity there to pray, and sometimes we just don't know how to do that. As I thought about this, there's possibly some ways that we would struggle. We may not know how to pray effectively. You know, how do we pray effectively for something? You're praying for a lost person. How do we pray effectively for that lost person? When we pray for our missionaries, how do we pray effectively for them? You know, I don't think God wants us to just say, well, God, bless our missionaries, give them a good day today, and Lord, you know, take care of me and help me in all my... Well, that might be better than nothing, maybe. But God wants us to pray specifically for them. That's why I put in the bulletin this week some specifics about our missionaries. So when you pray for them, you don't just pray, God bless the missionaries, but you can say, God, Benjamin and Lauren have this need to train Tom to prepare to preach. And the Dagans are moving to a new area, and they're going to get in settling in there, and they're getting involved in a new ministry, and they're going to have a lot of transitional things. Pray for them specifically. And for the Harringtons, they're desperately needing their visas to go to Mauritius. Pray for that specifically. And then pray also specifically for our new missionaries, the Otutes over in West Africa, as they are ministering to the people there in Anamabo in Ghana, and preaching them and teaching to them. They have a radio broadcast that he speaks on the radio to the people, and they go out knocking on doors, visiting with people. They've got a lot of people that are involved. And he said in one of his recent letters that he's just tired. I can see why. Looking at the list of stuff he does, it would make me tired too. But they need our prayers. And his wife is expecting a baby. So pray for all these things. Pray specifically. But, you know, sometimes we just don't know how to pray. And that's when we need the Spirit of God to help us. Say, Lord, I don't know how the best way to pray for Benjamin Lauren. I don't know the best way to pray for my unsaved friend. Lord, help me. So we don't know how to pray effectively. Another thing that hinders this is that our heart may be so burdened that we struggle to know what to say to God. You know, there's times when you carry a great burden. Something major has happened in your life, or you're facing a very big traumatic issue. And your heart is so heavy, and you think, I don't know what to say, God. I just hurt all over. I need your help. Those are the kind of times we need God's help. When we're hurting all over inside, we just don't know what to say. And he says, give it to me, I'll help you. He doesn't say he'll do it for you. But he says, I'll help you through that. Another way that we may need help is that often we do not know God's will when we pray. Many times we don't know God's will when we pray. When we pray for sick people, I don't know what God's will is. I mean, you can say, well, pray for my, you know, Aunt Susie. She's sick, you know, but she'll get better. Well, I'll pray, Lord, if it pleases you to help Aunt Susie get better. But I don't know God's will. It may not be God's will to help Aunt Susie get better. It may be God's will to take her home. It may be God's will that she's never going to get better. I don't know, but I can pray. But the Spirit of God does know God's will. And that's where he can step in, and he can take my prayer and put it in the right words to God so that he will reveal it to God exactly the way it's supposed to be. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we work our way through. But these are some ways that we need God's help. God can see the beginning from the end. He knows it all. You know, we have a very limited tunnel vision of life. God sees the whole perspective. He knew history better than we know current events. And he knows the future better than we know history. God knows it all. And so God knows, he sees the whole picture. And he's able to give us what we need accordingly. And God has a perfect plan there that is clouded from our eyes. These few prayer weaknesses may give you an idea of some of the things that to think of the ways that we need the Spirit of God helping us, and we really truly do need his help. And so the first thing, blessing we see here, is that he is our helper. But secondly, notice that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. Now, this is kind of in the same vein, but it takes on a little different aspect. He says here, in the middle of verse 26, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right? He is our intercessor. And we fail to pray as is necessary for appropriate and effective communion with God. Many times we fail. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. We say it wrong. Sometimes we're upset and we say things unkind we shouldn't say. You know, but the Holy Spirit indwelling in us intercedes for us. The word intercede means to entreat. He entreats God for us. He goes to God and said, God, this child of yours has a need. Would you please meet that need in this particular way? Because I understand his need and I'm putting it in the right words. He's not sure how to say it. And the Spirit of God is there to help us intercede. He entreats God for us. We find that same word used a few times in Scripture, not too many. One example of this is in the account dealing with Festus. If you remember when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching, well, they arrested for inciting mob violence, which he didn't really do, but he was arrested there, taken into prison, and held there, and he stood before Festus, and the Jews, the scriptures say, dealt with Festus regarding Paul. The word dealt with is the same word. It means to entreat it. They entreated Festus regarding Paul. They said, we want that guy dead. Would you please work to that end? And they entreated Festus for that. Thankfully, God intervened and that didn't happen. But then we find the word again in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, where it uses the word to describe Christ's intercession to God for those whom he has saved from hell. Christ intercedes for us. That is a great blessing. He steps in and intercedes when the devil accuses us. He intercedes for us and protects us and keeps us. And so the Holy Spirit of God is our intercessor. And you know, you might say, well, I thought Jesus was our intercessor. Yes, he is too. We've got more than one intercessor. But they're both God, both the same being, two different persons in the same being, but they both intercede for us. But he intercedes where we fail. The word intercession, notice in verse 26 again, says he maketh intercession for us. And you read down to verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us. All right, the same word in English, they're actually different words in Greek. They both come from the same root word, but the first one has a prefix on it that is significant. The prefix on that word means to beyond our ability. It is a word that means he's helping us, he's interceding beyond what we can do. Not only is he interceding, but he's interceding far greater than we could ever hope to do it ourselves. And so it's putting a strong emphasis on that he is interceding for us beyond our abilities. And we just do not know how to pray right, and the Holy Spirit steps in and helps carry the load. That is a great blessing. You know, you may feel like you're down and discouraged and frustrated and you just don't know what to do. The Spirit of God loves you and cares for you. And if you know him as your Savior, you're his child. He is there to help you. He wants to step in and intercede for you. And it says here that he intercedes for us. Don't overlook those little words. Very important. He intercedes for us. And he's assuring us that the intercession is for you. And it's for me. He's just not interceding in a general way. He's interceding specifically for us. The Spirit's intercession, he says here, is with groanings which cannot be uttered. Some people take this and they go for a ride with that and make all kinds of assumptions about these groanings. As far as I can tell, It just means that he knows exactly how to communicate things to the Father. They're the same being. The Holy Spirit and God and Jesus Christ, all the same being, three different persons in that being. And he can make some kinds of groanings. Why he didn't call it words? Why he didn't call it phrases? Why he didn't call it something? I don't know. He called it groanings. But his way of communicating with himself and on our behalf, he's pleading with, by uttering these groanings or sighs that baffle our words. We don't understand them. And we don't need to concern ourselves with the meanings of these groanings. It doesn't matter. All we know is the Spirit of God is doing that on our behalf to the Father, and Father understands. And he is clarifying things on our behalf. And God the Holy Spirit and God the Father are one on that. And so the Spirit of God is taking our prayers, putting them into the groanings that need to be able to communicate with God in a perfect way. And he's doing that on our behalf. As you study through this, don't be fooled. You know, there's some commentators that want to take this and say, oh, it's talking about all the speaking in tongues and God's inner, you know. No, no, it's not talking about speaking in tongues here. There's nothing about speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff here. It's not talking about praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. No, it's just talking about our prayers to God. So don't be fooled on that. Don't let someone pull you off track on that. Now, so the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. But then he goes on and he tells us another blessing, and that is he intercedes according to the will of God. That is significant. That is very significant. God knows the hearts, and he also knows the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, it is God the Father that searches the hearts. Scriptures tell us that in various places. One of those examples would be in the life of David. David was writing to his son Solomon, or speaking to his son Solomon. And it's recorded for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. And it says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. God searches the hearts. God knows what's deep down inside. But where does the Spirit of God live? He lives deep down inside. And he lives in us if we know him as our Savior. And God knows our hearts, but he also knows the mind of the Spirit. They work together. He knows the mind of the Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us and communes with our hearts, he wants what is best, and he knows what is necessary for us when we pray. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's deep down in our hearts. And he knows how to pray with us and for us. And he effectively entreats the Father on our behalf. And that is a wonderful blessing. He will take the most clumsy prayer and put it into the right and proper communication for us with God. You don't have to be a seasoned Christian to know how to pray. A brand new Christian that doesn't know how to say it at all and just talks to God like he's talking to his friend, God understands that perfectly well, because the Spirit of God living in him will do the same for him as he does for someone who's known the Lord for 20 years. God the Father thoroughly knows the mind or the thoughts of the Holy Spirit of God. For they're the same being. And if the Spirit of God lives in you and he's working with your spirit and he's in harmony with your spirit. Now see, this all brings us to one thought that we really need to focus on. And that is that God the Holy Spirit, if you know him as your Savior, he lives in you. And he wants to be able to help you. But it's not an automatic done deal. Because there's many things in Scripture, and I'll mention some of this in just a moment here, many things in Scripture that hinder our praying. And if we're not right with God and we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, none of this is going to work. So there's things that need to be dealt with there, and I'll deal with that in just a moment here. But notice here, he says here that he intercedes for us according to the will of God. the end of verse number 27. According to the will of God. Now, that is very special for us because often we do not know God's will. We just don't know. As I mentioned a few moments ago, when I pray for sick people, I can't pray, God, you got to heal them because you said you would. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that in the Bible. There's no scripture that says that God's going to heal every sick person that ever got sick. If that was the case, then nobody would get sick. We'd just pray for them and they'd be fine. But God is able to heal. God did heal many people that were sick during Jesus' ministry, so we know he's capable of that. And sometimes God sees fit to heal people now. Other times he says, no, not now. I'm going to take them to heaven. They're going to die. But God is capable. But we don't know God's will in that area. We don't know God's will maybe about a problem that we have. You know, how am I going to solve this problem? I don't know what God wants. Is he want me to do this or does he want me to do that? I don't know. And you look to the scriptures and you search the scriptures and you just can't find any clear answers. It's not something that you can find an answer from the Bible. Now, there are some things in the Bible that are clear. All right? For example, James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Crystal clear. God said, you lack wisdom, you ask me, without doubt, I will give it to you. We can claim that promise. And there's some other promises in there that are clear like that we can claim. That God said, you do this, I'll do that. But when we come to places where we just don't know, Lord, I'm going to buy a new house, and I don't know. Is this the right one, or is that the right one? I don't know. You know, even when you ladies go to the shops, you know, which of these brands should I buy? You know, I don't know. I read all the ingredients, and they try to deceive me, and I don't know which one's the better one. God, help me. You think, well, does God care about that? Yes, he does. And it's important we pray about little things as well as big things. But God has a will, and he has a mind, and he knows what's right. And the Spirit of God is interceding for us when we're making decisions, when we have a problem, when we're praying for sick people, and multitudes of other things. We really don't know what God's will is on that. How do we pray? Well, the Holy Spirit knows clearly the will of God. Now think about that with me. The Spirit of God is God. He knows the will of God. He lives in me. He is helping me pray. And therefore, he can take my prayer and he say, all right, Scott, you've messed that up here. That's not the way it's going to be. And I'm not going to answer it like that, but I'll take it and I'll put it in the right words and I'll take it to God the way it's supposed to be. And he puts it in the right order to go to God. And so I may be praying for a sick person and say, Lord, would you please heal this person? And the Spirit of God says, no, sorry, I can't put it that way. All right, God, just take care of this person until it's time to go. You know, he puts it in the right words because he knows the will of God, and I don't. And when I'm praying for God's will concerning, you know, a choice between this and that, he can put that in the right words because he knows God's will. And he, being God, is able to communicate for me and on my behalf. And every time that he intercedes for us, he knows exactly what God's will is. And therefore, when he prays on our behalf and helps us pray, he can put it in the right way. God has a plan for our lives. I hope you believe that. Life isn't just fate. It isn't just whatever comes will come. God has a plan. And we need to follow that plan. And part of that is just praying and say, God, I need your help. I don't know how to do this. And the Spirit of God is there to help us. And the Holy Spirit knows what is right. And that is awesome. Now, the Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. And that is a huge blessing if we're walking in harmony with the Spirit. He said, remember what he said there in Galatians 5? He said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He tells us there in Ephesians chapter 5:18, he says that if we be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit so that he can guide you. Many places in Scripture, the Spirit of God wants to be in control. And things that we do that are sinful, You know, if we've got bitterness in our heart, we're not forgiving somebody that needs to be forgiven, or we're holding back something that should be taken care of, and we're not getting it right, God says, I will not hear you. Remember the verse over there in Psalm 66:18? It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Can't get any clearer than that. God said, if I'm not going to take care of the sin that's between me and somebody else, God says, I'm not listening. And when we come to the Lord and we bring our prayer to the Lord, the Spirit of God's there to help us. And what's He do? He says, I'm sorry, I can't take that one to the Father because He's not going to listen to that one until you get right. You get right with me, and I'm happy to take it to the Father for you. But until then, sorry, it's not going to work. And the Spirit of God is not going to take our prayers to the Father if we are not right with God. And so if there's anything between us, you know, maybe between you and your spouse, or between you and a friend, or between you and a coworker, or there's something not right in your life, there's a sin you're secretly hiding and nobody knows about it, but you know about it and God knows about it. Listen, God says, I will not hear you. That's serious. And we don't want that to happen. We need to make sure there's nothing between us and God so that He can hear us. Some examples of this. We saw there in Psalm 66:18 of sin in our heart. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says if there's disharmony in the home, the husband and wife aren't getting along like there should be, God says, I'm not going to hear you. If there's disobedience to the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 says, if you're not obeying the Word, I'm not going to listen to you. And Matthew chapter 6 and verses 12 to 15, Jesus said there that if we don't forgive others, God's not going to listen to us. I mean, these are pretty serious issues. So God says, if there's unforgiveness, if there's disharmony in the home, if there's disobedience to the Word, if there's sin in my heart, God says, nope. I'm not going to listen. And the Spirit of God cannot take that prayer to the Father like He wants, because He knows the will of God. And He already knows the will of God is that He's not going to answer that prayer until you get right with God. That's God's will. But as soon as you do get right with God and get it taken care of and you get that sin out of your life, then we can come to the Holy Spirit and come to God through the Holy Spirit, and He will hear the prayer. And so very, very important that we see the connection there. God's will is not to answer our prayers until we are in right standing with Him. And then He can hear and answer our prayers. So this morning, as we've looked at this, two very, very important, helpful verses. We've seen here that the Spirit of God is a huge blessing to us. He helps us when we don't know how to pray, when we just don't know what to say. He intercedes for us. He puts our prayers in the proper form so that they will come to the Father, and He entreats the Father on our behalf. But then He also intercedes according to the will of God. That, I think, is the greatest blessing I gained from studying through this. Many times I don't know the will of God, but now I have peace in my heart. The Spirit of God does know the will of God, and I can just come to Him and say, Holy Spirit, I need You. I need Your help. I do not know God's will, but You do. So would You please put my prayer in the right words and bring it to the Father? I need His help. And I need His will. I want to know His will. And the Spirit of God is there to help me. What a great blessing that is. And so I challenge you this morning to read over these verses again. Think about them. Let them speak to your heart. And let God do a work in your heart that can be a great help to you in your walk with Him. He will meet those needs if you will come to Him. Now, if there's a hindrance in your life, something you know isn't right between you and God, or between you and someone else, now's the time to get it right. God wants us to have clean hearts so that He can hear and answer our prayers. We need to keep our hearts clean and right before God, that we might be able to have that good communication with Him. Obviously, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, none of this that I talked about this morning applies to you. Until you come to Christ and know Him personally as your Savior, religious people all the time pray and God says, I don't listen to that. They're not talking to me. They're not my children. When they come to know me, I'll listen to them. But until then, No, they're not my kids. I'm not listening to them. So you need to come to Jesus before you can pray. You need to be right with God before you can pray. And once you're right with God, then the Holy Spirit says, I'll be there to help you. I'm there to help you and encourage you, meet your needs, intercede for you, pray according to the will of God for you. So this morning, examine your heart. If there's a need for some things to get right, please don't ignore that. It's vital that we can pray. We need to talk to God. And we need to hear God. We need to have God answer our prayers as He hears us. And so we need to pray effectively. So I challenge you to ponder these things. Let God have His way in your life this morning.